Joining me now here in the studio is Levante Stewart. He's executive director of Lost Boys, Inc. And, Levante, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Well, you know, it's holiday time, and it's certainly not baseball time.
Not yet.
Even though, I've got to tell you, the White Sox wear looks good this morning.
Oh, listen, I'm a lifelong Sox fan, so I'm getting...
Well, I had no doubt about that.
Excited about this upcoming season.
Well, I wanted to have you on, our good friend, Martha Jo.
Yes.
I want to help try to promote this organization, because I think, you know, there's just something about... And yeah, we're here. It's hot stove league time. Okay, we're talking about how bad the Bears are. We're talking about how the Blackhawks are rising. We're talking about the winter meetings in baseball.
Yes.
Didn't see too much going on with the Sox there, but still, the idea of just how, you know, there's a bit of nostalgia too of just how baseball and as an upbringing in your youth. It helps you in the future.
Absolutely, Rick. And that's part of why, or the main reason why we use baseball as the platform for this, or the impetus for youth development and violence prevention. And listen, Rick, I was born in the late 70s, so I grew up in the 80s, teenager about in the 90s, you know, college time, all that stuff in Chicago. But the one thing that binded people, neighborhoods, regardless of your race, status, economic classification, was baseball. You could go through any neighborhood in Chicago and there were strikeout boxes and kids by the dozens going to buy 25-cent rubber balls, and the girls played. So it was just an amazing time and a tool for bringing America together. I tell people all the time, nothing is more American than baseball and apple pie. For those 3 hours that you're sitting in the stands, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, rich, poor, south side, north side. If we're Sox fans, we're best friends for those 3 hours.
Why can't it last longer than 3 hours?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's a way, using tools like this and having platforms like this is a way to extend it beyond those 3 hours. Because, I mean, the bond that we have at this organization with the kids, the parents, the community, it's amazing. I know we kind of redundantly hear that word, but it is genuinely amazing how this tool allows this stuff to carry over to other areas of life. I've got police officers who've partnered with us from the 4th District, Commander Noel Sanchez, and these officers, beyond what we did with them, the projects to address building relationships and addressing police brutality, these police are still going to these kids' homes now, to this day, years later, checking on them, bringing them school supplies, just doing things for them, and it's all around baseball.
Well, why don't you explain what actually is Lost Boys?
Absolutely. So it's an organization. We're going into our 10th year now. Started right in South Shore community as a direct response to the spike in violence that we were seeing in the early 2000s. And so what we do, it's called sports-based youth development. That's the social science theory behind this. And so basically it's about youth development. That's the tool for anti-violence. Sometimes it's about intervention and prevention. Prevention is the strongest tool that we have. So it's very prevention-oriented. And so using this sports-based youth development, the theory is to put, through mutually positive relationships, you put kids on healthy trajectories in life. So we've bound all these out of what you call OSTs, out-of-school time activities, together in a meaningful way. So we're connecting baseball, civic engagement, cultural enrichment, academic enrichment, service learning. All of these things are being brought together from this center focus of baseball. So like Martha, that's why she plays a big part in what we do, and she means a lot to me as a friend. She supports what we do, and so we tell her dad's story because that is a big piece of the history of the game and of integration and of the progress of black Americans if you look just through the lens of baseball. Joe opened the door for more than just athletes and for Negro League baseball players to get pensions later down the road. Look at what he did in corporate America as Mr. Greyhound.
Well, and going to college.
Right.
At a time when African Americans didn't go to college.
Right. Been a black male teacher at that time in New Jersey.
Right.
And, you know, they still remember that. Fields are named after him still to this day in his hometown of New Jersey. So it's just an amazing tool when you really step back and look at the influence that baseball has had on this country. It opened the door for African Americans, which opened the door for other areas of integration into life. It opened the door for gender equality when we look at women, and they came in and played the game when the men were off to war. And so, you know, it's many instances of we can cite things that have happened in baseball that have been good for America.
Is it harder to reach kids today than when you guys started 10 years ago?
Well, with baseball, yeah, because the first thing is they look at it and they're like, kind of like, oh, this is boring. But when they actually step out on that field and they put on a glove or they pick up a bat, the kids just kind of get hooked because of all the intricacies.
But is it a matter of almost teaching them the game?
Yeah, it's really a
matter versus
of
how, you know, like with you and I, maybe it was kind of like we just naturally picked up a ball and bat,
right,
kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's a different era of teaching the game now. And, you know, as coaches, one of the things we do is we a huge partner Up to Us Sports. They are the leading authority in research and implementation of sports-based youth development approaches in the model. But one of the things they do is they train us to train the coaches on trauma-sensitive coaching. That's a big discussion right now in communities that are plagued by violence, is looking at this stuff and addressing the trauma, not only the kids, but the adults are going through, because it impacts our ability to, just like in the classroom,
to reach
and teach. You know, so we knock the schools and the teachers, son of a CTU, retired member. And so, you know, it's not always the schools or just the teachers. It's the toxic environment, the things that the kids are putting on that invisible backpack that goes on underneath the school backpack. And it's the same way on and off the field.
And it weighs.
It weighs heavy. We, as the adults, we try to do our best to take some of this burden off of them. Because guess what, Rick? You know, the majority of us, if we face up, you know, we put that burden on them. Like, just like right now in this country, we have this explosion of dealing with this issue of sexual assault on women in the workplace. And it's a great thing that we're finally, you know, talking about this. And I think that's the same thing that has to happen in communities like mine, like South Shore. We have to bring this stuff out, and we've got to talk about it. We've got to talk about our contributions. Again, I'm a kid from the Boys in the Hood generation, so I had my romp in the streets, right? So I contributed in some forms to that negative environment, that toxic environment. So this is just an earnest way and a part of my redemptive process of correcting that, because that's where the solutions for violence are going to come from. It's not Springfield throwing a ton of money at us, the federal government, Mayor Emanuel, whoever. We need the resources, but that's just not the solution. The solution is going to come from within the community. But we do need the government. We need those public officials. We need the community to get behind what we're doing. It doesn't matter if you're black or not, or if you're Hispanic, wherever the problems are, we need all Chicagoans to kind of rally around these problems and help address them.
We're speaking with Levante Stewart. He's the executive director of Lost Boys, Inc. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, joined here in the Allstate Showcase studio by Levante Stewart, executive director of Lost Boys. And Levante, I was realizing we're talking because we know Martha Jo Black,
yes,
and it's Martha Jo Black's father, Joe Black, who she actually wrote a book about her father, and it's a fantastic book.
Oh, absolutely. It's become required reading material now at Lost Boys. It's becoming a rite of passage, and it's called More Than a Dodger, The Joe Black Story. And so Martha wrote about her dad's life through her lens as his daughter. So it was awesome looking at this tight-knit bond relationship. And just for listeners to know, Joe Black was the first African-American pitcher to win a World Series game. He was with the Dodgers, teammate to Jackie Robinson. So it is just this unknown and amazing story.
I know you're still young, but yeah, somebody like my age, and as I've told the listeners several times, because Martha's been on, it still boggles my mind that, you know, that's still recent history.
Right.
When he won that World Series game. I mean, that's relatively recent history.
Absolutely, and that's why, you know, we feel kind of obligated to teach it.
Well, we've got a call from Ron this morning.
All right.
Ron, welcome, as always, to the Sunday Spin.
Hey, good morning, Rick. I tell you, I had to call. This is very, very dear to my heart. I'm so glad that you said that book is a requirement for reading. And I'll make it quick, Rick. I really get caught up because I love baseball. I'm a 50-year White Sox fan. And when I still run across all my friends and stuff, We identified to what? Oh, that was a Cub fan. That was a White Sox fan. He played short. Baseball was just such a significant part of the fabric of our community. And I'll go back to this. And I love baseball. And that book, I was not aware that Joe Black was the first African American in the World Series. Off the top of my head, I would have said the great Bob Gibson. But lastly, two things. Which have you all planned a trip going to the Negro League Baseball in Kansas City? It's very affordable for Kansas City. I think that would be a great idea. I'm going to try to get in touch with your organization. I'd like to be involved with that and also make some donations. And the last thing is, do you see any high school programs that now, I know Harlan and Simeon at one time had some good baseball programs. So can you answer that question? And again, you sound a lot younger than I am. So keep the tradition going. We have to keep the tradition of baseball in our community, okay? And thank you very much.
Absolutely. And thanks for the support, Ron, and Merry Christmas. And so to answer some of your questions, yeah, we've been thinking about trying to get them out to Kansas City, to the Negro League Museum. And so it's always a fervor for raising revenue for what we do because, you know, it just doesn't generate a ton of money. So, you know, once we have the funds, we're definitely going to take a trip like that and get the kids out of the state and play some tournaments and, you know, some of that stuff. And you can find us on our website. It's LostBoysInc.org. And we would love to have you come and volunteer. One of my favorite grandmothers, Mrs. Francine Rockman, always says, it's not your presence. It's your presence that matters to the kids. So, you know, we welcome all volunteers that want to come out and get involved any age.
Well, so obviously it's not baseball time.
Right.
You can't be out, you know, swinging a bat anywhere. How does this work in this time of year in a winter environment in Chicago?
Okay, let me try to summarize that real quickly for you and put it in perspective. But can I quickly say to my wife who stayed woke this morning, my lovely wife, Dana, I love her. She's the reason this all started. She got me going in the coaching and it led to this. So I wanted to.
So she is the inspiration for this.
She is. She's the mother of baseball.
There you go.
So, so the way we do it, we've been extending and extending, and so now we're finally almost year-round. And so it kind of breaks down. We have two different programs. So the MVP and SYO. MVP are the kids up to age 15 that actually play baseball or softball, and they start at T-ball age. And then they have all of these other components they have to do. So this stuff is incorporated all year long. So now in the winter months, from January to March, we're indoors doing what's called winter clinic. So we're focused on training, getting conditioning, getting physically fit. But the biggest focus is academic. So this is where we have a staff.
This is the meshing with the school.
Right.
Year,
and we're partnering with the University of Chicago Neighborhood Schools Program, Chicago State University's Honors Program. So bringing in collaborative partners to accomplish what we're trying to do. The kids are studying. We're getting those grades up, making sure they beat averages. We take the time for 3 months to have a singular civic engagement focus. So as I mentioned, in years past, we've done police brutality. Last year, we focused on, because as you know, I work for state government. So we focused on political structures and teaching kids about voter suppression and the history of that stuff. And it ended in a culminating project of them going home and finding out who's involved at home civically, who's voting. If so, why not? And encouraging family members to get involved and exercise their rights. And so this year, with all of the rhetoric that's coming out of D.C. and everywhere else, right, we want the kids to be equipped with enough information to make their own decisions. We're not trying to indoctrinate them or influence someone, make them lean left or lean right, but we want them to have the facts and not be misled or misscrewed about what it is to be an American. So this year we're focusing on, during this time, they're talking about really understanding nationalism and self-identity, looking at constitutional and civil rights, examining time, periods of time, Civil War history, Reconstruction period, looking at migration, the Great Migration, and immigrants coming across from Ireland and Mexico, and making their own decisions about why this stuff is important and why it really defines us as Americans.
Why they hear these words like immigration and nationalism, and what do those terms actually
mean, kind of
civic literacy.
Yeah, exactly, because they have to understand that to be an American is a complex definition, right? We can't define ourselves by our melanin or any other thing.
Or geography.
But we know another American when we recognize them, right? Especially if they're White Sox fans. So, you know,
I knew this was all going to come back to the White Sox.
But let me try to summarize that real quick. So, Winter Clinic, they're studying civic engagement, conditioning, mentoring. We use a curriculum from an organization called Citizens University, and it has these wonderful modules that we use with them. And so then in the spring, they come out, and they start training physically, right, and then they're playing ball, and now they're doing service learning projects around the community, outside of the community, in other people's communities. They're giving back because we want them to be givers more than they're takers. And then the summer is full-blown season, and then we're doing all of the extra fun stuff. So we're kayaking, we're camping, we're fishing. We're doing the things that they don't get to do in the hood, Rick.
Right.
Taking them out so they can experience this. And we continue with the civic engagement opportunities. And then on the flip side of it, Successful Youth Leaders runs parallel to it, and it's for the kids who've aged out, because that's where the issues are. When they get 15, 16, 17, this is where they need the most hands around them and guiding them, because this is where I got lost. You know, I came from a two-parent, great household. We were what's considered hood rich. Dad had a Cadillac in the driveway. I had every jersey you could imagine. And I went to every Catholic school you could think of, De La Salle. But eventually, I veered off path, right? I was influenced by negative peer influences because that just didn't fit where we lived. You know, SYL tries to get a hold of these ones, and we hope that they've already been in the program playing and have aged up, but we'll take them if they haven't. And this focuses on academic enrichment in terms of post-secondary, helping them get to college, helping them select one, helping them get academic, athletic scholarships if they play ball, introducing them to the workforce, but through the eyes of sports industry, right? So we got sports journalism, we got umpiring, we have field maintenance and equipment management, and then we have an administrative track. So some of these kids are making $13 an hour by the time they get to the summer, and they're coaching too, they're junior coaches. So they're building resumes, they're taking financial literacy courses because we partner with Junior Achievement to use their curriculum. These kids are opening bank accounts, tracking their money, so they're learning all of these things that they can apply in life. And you know, so that spans the year too.
And I mean, you have some great partnerships.
We do.
In this, and that's what makes this kind of an all-encompassing kind of program.
Right. And so what's really been amazing is I tell my 12-year-old son who plays for me, and he's a stud, baby. I'm telling you, Rick, can throw 63, and he just turned 12, and we call him Manny Machado. But I told him, I said, kid, you have met already more pros in your short life than I have in my entire life. And so it's been a blessing, Lost Boys. Andrew McCutcheon was in town a few years ago, and we were with Dan McGrath from Leo.
Right.
Dan McGrath,
yep.
And he took some of the kids from Leo, some of the kids from Lost Boys, and trust me, I sweated over this, talked to the board, but my son deserved it. He got a chance to go. And they went on a Nike shopping spree. Curtis Granderson has been a wonderful partner with the Chicago Baseball and Education Academy at the University of Illinois Chicago with the UIC Flames right. baseball team. Eric Davis, the executive director down there. This group has been amazing. So these kids have been exposed to, we've got professional softball players, Narissa Myers from the Texas Scrapyard Dogs. The Chicago Bandits have been an amazing partner for the girls over the last 4 years. So these kids are getting exposed to all kind of pros. Now we're kind of trying to crack the doors in with the White Sox. Christine O'Reilly at Charities is great. Martha, of course, is awesome. So, you know, the next step we're trying to do is actually get to the players. So that's, you know, what we're kind of working on now. I think the kids will go crazy if they can meet Moncada.
Well, Levante Stewart, Executive Director of Lost Boys, tell us how to find the website for more information.
Yes, sir. So www.lostboysinc.org, and you can find us on social media. We're on Twitter, Lost Boys Inc. We're on Facebook, Lost Boys Inc.
Levante Stewart, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Rick, for having me. Great to see you again.